It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number three of the Early Line, live right here on this Tuesday, all across the Spiz Grizz Network. That is Sports Grid, and that is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. In hour number three, a jam-packed final hour, Boomer Esiason will join us around 10:25 a.m. Eastern Time. You never want to jinx things. Technology can be fickle at moments, but Boomer's supposed to be here to talk all things around the NFL at the conclusion of week number 10, entering week number 11. A monumental Tuesday night in college basketball. We'll be joined by John Rothstein as well to end out the show today on TEL. Donnie, what a third and final hour we have in store here on the Early Line.
Buckle up, because we're going to get after it and set the tone. Who says Tuesdays can't be fun here? It's going up on a Tuesday, Ben. Let's go.
Wow. I didn't know Donnie knew I Love Mackinac like that. Look at this guy. I thought he was just an NSYNC fan. He knows everything.
Don't be so Tuesday, Ben. Don't be so Tuesday, man. Come on now.
Donnie Wrightside might spit you a bar before this hour and this show is done. So, Donnie, here's how we start hour number three, looking at Buffalo's outlook for the rest of 2023. We just had the Fade the Public poll to end out hour number two. Most of the public agreeing with the odds makers that Buffalo's season will come to a close in the regular season. The Bills won't be a playoff team. When did we ever think we would utter those words at all in 2023? More than 71% of the public saying Buffalo is going to miss the postseason. The odds makers agree. Quickly, we welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here. Hour number three on this Tuesday on TEL. Sirius XM Channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He's Donnie. I am Ben. So, Donnie, after the loss last night, Buffalo is now an even 500 at 5-5. They have lost four of their last six games. They can't stop turning the football over. Four turnovers last night against the Denver Broncos. Donnie, this is a team that has won at least 11 games in three consecutive years, and in all three seasons, they have won the AFC East. It is also a team, Donnie, that once they reach the postseason, that's where their issues arise, when they can't get past an AFC Conference Championship game to actually win the conference title and play in a Super Bowl. That was always the margin we thought Buffalo had to clear, but Donnie, that bar now might be just making it to the playoffs.
Yes, and also, if you first of all, you can't win a Super Bowl unless you make the playoffs. So maybe the Buffalo Bills can rally around, as he used to say, like, nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. And maybe that's true this year, because everybody now is against them here. They're going to beat the Jets this weekend. They're then going to lose back-to-back football games. They'll lose to the Eagles. They'll lose to the Chiefs. The Cowboys, who never win big games, they'll beat them at home, which means you have to beat the Chargers, who might be on a new head coach at that point on the road. They could win there. The Patriots, they might be on a new head coach. You should beat them. And then the Miami Dolphins at the end of the regular season, keep in mind on this, the Dolphins might have their seeding already wrapped up in the playoffs, therefore benching superstar players so the Buffalo Bills can win that game. There's so many things to lay out. Josh Allen is a very good quarterback. He just hasn't played like it yet. But one snap of the finger, he could get it back, and that offense could be ultra productive. We're not going to throw this season out yet, because there is a pathway to get to the playoffs. Seven teams out of each conference make the playoffs. That should be good enough for the Buffalo Bills to get at least the seventh seed for me. I'm not giving up on the Buffalo Bills just yet here.
Yeah, DRS, it's super interesting, right? Because Buffalo only has seven games left. They haven't hit their bye. They've played 10 games. You mentioned those four very difficult opponents on paper: Philadelphia, Kansas City, Dallas, and then Miami, week number 18. We'll see what the regular season finale holds between the Dolphins and the Bills. Let's not forget, Buffalo did win the first matchup between these two teams, week number 4, but that was in Western New York. The easy opponents on the schedule, Donnie, the Patriots and the Jets, and technically the Chargers right now, but LA has a lot of talent. Just 7 games left. Buffalo is 5-5. They're not going to win all 7 more than likely. Donnie, they probably need 5 of the 7, though, to feel comfortable with a 10-7 record of being a postseason team. That's how good the AFC is at this moment. You have 3 teams that are 5-5, the Colts, Raiders, and Bills, all on the outside of the postseason picture, the Bengals and the Texans at 5-4, where Houston has the tiebreaker right now over Cincinnati for that 3rd and final wild card spot, with the 2 other wild cards at the moment, Donnie, coming from Cleveland and Pittsburgh, the Steelers and Browns, both 6-3. There is not a ton of margin of error for Buffalo remaining. They have the 4th most difficult schedule down the home stretch of this 2023 NFL regular season. And again, Donnie, 7 regular season games to go for the Bills. To feel comfortable, they probably have to win at least 5 of 7. That is a difficult bar to clear, knowing how difficult the schedule is.
Yes, and you're right about that. And also, we can't go on previous years like, hey, the Bills are really talented. We know, but it just hasn't worked out. And you just get back to the 2-game stretch, which again is a microcosm of last night, where it's like, well, hey, the Buffalo Bills should be in a great bounce back spot. Oh, really? Did you see how they handled the New England Patriots and the New York Giants, 2 of the worst football teams in the NFL?
Yeah.
Should have lost both of those games and actually came away with the split. So me factoring into myself going like, yeah, they should beat the Cowboys at home and the Chargers on the road, and they already lost to the Patriots, but now they should beat them at home. We're doing a lot of what ifs in this instance, but we know how the NFL works. The Buffalo Bills lost opening night to the New York Jets, and it was an embarrassing loss. They then, over the next couple games, said, no, we're the best team in football here. That was an aberration in week number 1. Throw that out. We're here to contend for a Super Bowl. Now we find themselves back to like, oh, is that the real Bills here that should have lost to the Giants, lost to the Jets already, lost to the Patriots? They're Jekyll and Hyde as anybody, but they can perform over the next couple weeks. Let's just say they do take down the Jets and then upset the Eagles in their own building. Who knows what we're going to say about the Buffalo Bills at that point. Then the bye week, as you said, going into Kansas City. They could turn the entire NFL season on a head here if they win those games. But they're 5-5, and what do we like to say, Ben? You are what your record says you are. You're a 500 ball club.
Certainly so. They're turning the football over. Josh Allen leads the NFL with interceptions this year as well. He has thrown an INT. He had 2 last night, but an INT now in 6 consecutive games for the Bills. Donnie, those 4 of the final 7, at Philadelphia, at Kansas City, at LA, at Miami, those are going to be difficult games. I think Buffalo was booked as an underdog for sure on the road in Philly and inside Arrowhead.
Yeah.
They'll probably be a slight home favorite against Dallas and maybe a slight road favorite by the time we get to week number 16 against the LA Chargers on Christmas weekend. Again, it's not going to be easy for Buffalo. It's why it's minus 220 right now. The more likely side is for the Bills to miss the playoffs instead of make at plus 176. They need to be clean. They need to stop turning the football over. And Donnie, they're going to have to win some games that the odds makers might not expect them to at this point. It's a big night in the NBA as well. The in-season tournament, Donnie, for the first time in the midweek on a Tuesday. Don't roll your eyes. We handicap it up next here on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Another night in the NBA in-season tournament. It is night number 3, the first time on a Tuesday around the association. We're trying to get all of our wires correct so we can present everything as factually accurate here for the NBA in-season tournament. Some teams, Donnie, will play their 2nd in-season tourney games. Other will make their debut in the NBA in-season tournament. If it's their first game, is that an advantage? Because they want to play and take part in the history that is the NBA NBA in-season tournament. If it's their second, do they have that pedigree and experience, knowing what it feels like in a big atmosphere of an in-season tournament game in the association? Donnie, let's start overall with where the odds are right now to win the NBA in-season tournament. Again, there is group play. There are three groups in each conference made up of five teams. You play all the rest of the four other teams in your group. The top team automatically goes. Then we take two wild cards from each conference, or just two wild cards overall, to establish the quarterfinal round before the final four, the semifinals, and an NBA in-season tournament championship game for the NBA Cup in Las Vegas early on in December. Right now, Donnie, the team that is favored to win the NBA championship is also the team that is favored to win the NBA Cup, the Celtics at plus 450. The Bucks and the Nuggets tied for that second best price at 5-1. Double the numbers to get to Philadelphia and LA, the 76ers at 10-1. JoJo's taking it seriously, Donnie. He's making threes at the buzzer to help out with any potential point tiebreakers for Philadelphia should come to that. And LeBron looking for that first ever NBA Cup so he can say, hey, MJ never won an NBA in-season tournament. Donnie, how has it been so far for you? Have you been enjoying this NBA in-season tournament? I can barely get out that question. Like,
now, here's the issue. Like, some teams can get knocked out tonight, and will they tank the final two games and not care about it? And also, why in the FanDuel Sportsbook do I see a different set of odds for in-season tournament than the regular season champion? What, the Boston Celtics aren't that good for the in-season tournament, but much better to win the championship? Or the Sixers care more about this because it's the only championship they might be able to win? That's the interesting part overall. I just wish if the NBA had an in-season tournament and they did it right, and I'll say it repeatedly here, shut the NBA down 2 weeks here, get these guys in one central location, everybody to watch, enjoy, it'll be something new. But the fact of the matter is where Ben has to come and tee me up for 5 minutes to let me know exactly what's happening, only for the end of his 5 minutes, I have no idea still what's happening. And I feel like a lot of the people are watching feeling the same way here. Newsflash, a good team's probably going to win this, right? So there we go.
Are you telling me I did a bad job hosting? I didn't explain it thoroughly or correctly enough?
No, you explained it so thoroughly that it's like, what is the NBA doing at this point? Why is this narrow? It should be, look, we're going to play two games here on this night. You're going to have a winner and a loser. They're going to advance, and the way we go. Like, think about it, Ben. Think about this. If they had a March Madness-style tournament in the NBA midseason, all 32 teams, 32 teams, whoever's in the NBA, they line up and play together. Single elimination to a championship. Isn't that great? Like, hey, well, the Sixers are playing tonight, but didn't they lose 2 weeks ago in this in-season tournament? Oh, I don't remember that. We remember because it just happened the night before. Enough with this.
All right, let's break down the games. We got to fly through. There's a ton of action, a 10-game slate around the association. And the best team in the NBA right now, based on record, and don't forget, these also count for the regular season record, the Philadelphia 76ers, who have won 8 straight games and sit this year at 8-1. The 76ers, Donnie, a 5-point favorite at home tonight against Indiana. Can Philly make it 9 in a row, Donnie, at home this evening?
Yeah, we're going 9 in a row. The 76ers are absolutely on fire right now. And I know Kelly Oubre is not going to play in this game. Who knows when he's going to come back? Not a season-long injury. Broken ribs, maybe back in a few weeks for the Sixers. But certainly Tyrese Maxey says, oh, more basketballs for me. Good news as he dropped 50 in his last game. I look for the Philadelphia 76ers to win going away. The vibes are immaculate in Philadelphia. They'll handle their business tonight on their home court. And what a way. I wonder if they do have a nice court here tonight, as I see so many out throughout the NBA changing up their court structures here for this tournament. Let's see what it looks like.
This is the first in-season tournament game ever in Philadelphia. They started off on the road in the Motor City. Donnie, they did host the Pacers just a few nights back on Sunday, and Philadelphia won their 8th straight, winning by 11 against Indiana. Philly this year, not only 8-1 straight up, 8-1 against the spread, 6-1 ATS as a favorite this season. Tyrese Maxey put up a 50-piece, a 50-burger on the Pacers the last time these two teams met on Sunday. No points prop out just yet for Maxey. Joel Embiid at 32.5. And JoJo has been great. His average this year, 32.4. His rebounds per game, nearly 12. The reigning MVP has been sensational. I thought we had a graphic. We got to keep it moving as we've been told. There it is. There's that graphic. The dynamic duo in the city of brotherly love. All right, DRS. Next up, the two favorites to win the NBA Rookie of the Year, Victor Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren. You got the two long and lanky figures facing off against each other tonight in OKC. The Thunder, a 9.5-point favorite, Donnie, against San Antonio.
Last four games for my guy SGA, 30, 43, 33, and 35. Take his points prop to the over tonight. And also, I like the over for the game here, coming in around that 237 number. OKC laying a heavy. Look, this isn't something we're used to here for OKC, laying close to double digits in basketball games. I do think they're the better team, and SGA will lead the way for Oklahoma City in a victory tonight.
DRS, OKC has been great as an underdog this year. They are 5-1 against the spread, but they're a 9.5-point favorite tonight. San Antonio has gone over now in 7 consecutive games because the defense is not great. They have allowed at least 114 points in every game so far this year. The total at 237. Maybe you look at the Thunder going over their team total in this matchup. Donnie, one of the surprises this year, the Timberwolves have been great. Great, led by Anthony Edwards, in-season tournament game tonight in San Francisco between the Warriors and the T-Wolves. Golden State only a 2-point favorite at home, the over-under 220.5.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in this game, too. But also, I like the Warriors here in this spot. I think there's a legitimate chance they could pull away with this basketball game. But Anthony Edwards on the opposite side, is he one of the most fun players to watch in the NBA, can single-handedly take over a game? It'll be Warriors for me tonight, though.
He has scored at least 26 Wonderful. Points in the last 5 for the Timberwolves, including 33 against the Dubs on Sunday in San Francisco. That was a 6-point victory for Minnesota. 33, 7 assists, 6 boards for the Ant-Man on Sunday night. The T-Wolves 7-2 this year. Donnie, a role reversal for Golden State this season. 1-3 at home inside the Chase Center, 5-2 away from San Francisco on the road. Late night in Los Angeles, the Clippers getting ready. In Mile High, the Clippers on the road in Denver to take on the Nuggets. A 5-point spread in favor of the Nugs. The Clips, Donnie, have lost 5 straight games, including all 4 with James Harden as a member of LA. Does that streak come to a close tonight in Mile High?
I mean, a championship is on the line in this tournament. You know the Clippers are going to, come up small in this environment. Let's go Denver Nuggets at home. Who in the right mind is taking the Clippers tonight?
I would also lay the 5 with the Nugs. The Clippers offensively have also struggled with James Harden in rotation. Less than 110 in 3 of the 4 games the Beard has been out there. Now, late night in Los Angeles, the Lakers hosting the Grizzlies as a 5-point favorite. 223, that total between the Lakers and the Grizz. What does LeBron do in the in-season tournament?
LeBron's going to handle his business tonight. You take a look there. LeBron James and Anthony Davis both expected to be in the lineup. I'll lay it with the Lakers out of the West Coast tonight.
The Dallas Mavericks, Donnie, tied alongside Denver for that best record out West. An 8-2 Mavericks team on the road in New Orleans to take on the Pels. The line growing in favor of the Mavs. It's now 4 in favor of Dallas.
Yeah, look at that. Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, team me up there. I'll take that over the Pelicans any day of the week. Let's go, Luka.
Kyrie does not miss in-season tournament games. The Mavs have won 4 of their last 5, and as a 4-point favorite or less, they have covered in their last 3 games when they have won. They did lose outright to Toronto a week ago. Also, 3 straight overs for Dallas. They have gone over in 8 of 10 games this year. It's why the total is at 240, the highest over-under for the Mavericks this season. Boomer Esiason joins us next, live right here on TEM.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Boom or bust. That's what we found out right here. I jinxed it. Hopefully we have Boomer Esiason back on the show at a certain point. Some technical difficulties there. All right, Donnie, right side. We keep it rolling through. Looking at the NFL entering week number 11, now in the second half of this season. Donnie, we talked about the Monday night marquee matchup here in week number 11 between the Eagles and the Chiefs, a Super Bowl 57 rematch in Kansas City between those Chiefs and the Birds. That's the best end of the spectrum. The two teams with the shortest prices to have the best regular season record. Now let's talk the worst. The Panthers have the worst record. They're the only team left in the NFL with just a lone win this year at 1-8. The Giants, 2 wins, 2-8. The Patriots, 2 wins, 2-8. The Cardinals, 2 wins, 2-8 as well. Donnie, those four teams, the four teams around the National Football League with 2 wins or less this season, ultimately, who's going to have that worst record when the year comes to a close?
You know what the shame of it's going to be? It's going to be the Carolina Panthers. They go, yeah, number one over. Oh, no, we don't even have a draft pick here. So that is a tough pill to swallow when you might be the worst team in the NFL and don't get to reap the benefits of being the worst team in the NFL. That's where I'm going. Now, the Arizona Cardinals are interesting to me because, again, as I say, cheering in upper management, like, yeah, looks like our quarterback's back healthy. Oh, no, we just won a football game. That's not what's going to be in the game plan. I don't think Arizona is going to finish with the worst record. The New England Patriots and Bill Belichick will never tank a football game, and he's running the organization legacy-wise. They'll try their best. For me, it's the Carolina Panthers. They just look bad, and again, the worst-case scenario for them, they don't get to reap the benefits of being a horrendous football team. There it is. Panthers, for me, they'll be the worst team in the NFL when it's all said and done.
Donnie, that really sucks for those in Charlotte. Those in Chicago are thrilled to know the Panthers have the worst record, including a loss to the Bears in Soldier Field to start off week number 10 and the second half a Thursday ago. And then the Bears are hoping that's their last win of the year, and they would have two top five picks come this April in the 2024 NFL draft. Because, Donnie, that's one of my favorite things about the home stretch of an NFL season. Not only the playoff picture and the in the hunt graphics, but the jockeying for draft position as we get ready for a new season around the National Football League and a future outlook for organizations that know they have no chance of being in playoff contention. For Chicago, that's a great thing. I wonder, Donnie, if the Bears even hope Justin Fields gets back this year, or if the evaluation process has come to a close with Justin Fields in his time in the Windy City. I believe we have Boomer Esiason joining us now on the early line here on Sports Grid. Boomer, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on this Tuesday. We were just forecasting the rest of the home stretch of this 2023 NFL regular season. Thanks for being here on TEL.
Yeah, my pleasure, Ben and Donnie. Thanks for having me on. So what's happening today?
Let's look back at the end of week 10 then, Boomer, before we look forward to week number 11. A wild ending on a Monday night in Western New York between the Bills and the Broncos. It seemed Buffalo was going to win as Will Lutz went wide right, only to have too many men on the field. It made the field goal 5 yards shorter. Denver survives with a victory in Buffalo, winning outright as a 7.5 point underdog. So, Boomer, there's the conversation for Denver. Sean Payton and Russell Wilson figuring things out. They've won 3 straight games after a 1-5 start to this year. But I think a lot of the main focus, Boomer, is going to be on the Buffalo Bills. Now an even 500 at 5-5. Was last night's ending on a Monday night representative to you of this season for the Bills overall?
You know, I think when you think back to the interceptions in the first half and the turnovers that the Bills did have, you know, this has been their bugaboo and this has been like their soft spot the whole entire season. As a matter of fact, since Josh Allen's been there, but he's so good that he can overcome a lot of the shortcomings of their offense and proved again last night by what, you know, scoring what we all thought was going to be the winning touchdown at the end of the game. But I think what happened last night is now we legitimately have 14 teams in the AFC that are all still in the mix. You know, Denver winning, that puts them right back in the mix now. We have a long way to go. Buffalo's got it. They're going to have their hands full this week with the Jets defense. However, the good news for them is they get to see Zach Wilson and a putrid offense and an offense that hasn't scored but 8 touchdowns in 9 games. So they can get healthy pretty quickly this week if they want to and get themselves right back in the conversation. However, if they lose and the Jets win, then that Black Friday game between the Jets and the Miami Dolphins is going to take on added significance for the AFC East.
Taking it to another level with the Buffalo Bills, Boomer, you played at such a high level in the NFL, been to a Super Bowl, something that Josh Allen is hoping to get to here. You take a look at the coaching changes here. Brian Daboll, who helped him out so much, moves on to the New York Giants. Now it's Ken Dorsey as his offensive coordinator. Talk to us about some of the changes that you might have went through in your career going from offensive coordinator and getting maybe a different philosophy, because it doesn't seem to be working right now for Josh Allen.
You know, it's a very good point because right in the middle of my career, Bruce Coslett left me and went to become the head coach of the New York Jets. He was my offense coordinator, knew me inside and out. And when we lost him, I kind of lost my my brother in arms, if you will. Like, he was the one that could criticize me. He was the one that could coach me hard. He was the one that could say that I'm, you know, loafing in practice, whatever it took to get the best out of me. He had that unique, or we had that unique relationship where he was able to do that. And I do believe that Josh misses Brian Daboll. I don't care what anybody says. And I'm not taking this out on Ken Dorsey. This is just the natural thing that happens in the NFL. You lose one coordinator that knows you really well from the day that they drafted you, can get the best out of you, can say things to you that very few people in an organization could say to a superstar quarterback. And that guy is going to listen because he knows it's in his best interest to pay attention to that coordinator and what he's telling you. I'm sure that Ken Dorsey and Josh have a very good relationship. And, you know, the one thing I did like about Ken Dorsey last night is that they went back to the running game. They tried to take some of the pressure off of Josh Allen, so he didn't make a mistake late in the game. And that running game proved to be effective against one of the worst rushing defenses in football in the Denver Broncos. So all in all, if they don't have 12 men on the field, they end up winning that football game and they feel a hell of a lot better about themselves this morning than they do because of what happened, the way that game transpired. So Josh is still a top six or seven quarterback in my eyes in this league, and he could beat you at a given's notice. He just has not found their rhythm that they had back in week 2, 3, and 4. And they, quite frankly, haven't been the same since they got back from London.
Joining those top QBs in the NFL this year, Boomer, the rookie in Houston, C.J. Stroud, a minus 2,000 favorite to win the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. They're already starting to scratch out his name in that trophy. But let's take it a step further, Boomer, on Stroud this season. Top 10 in the NFL in passing yards, passing touchdowns, QBR, passer rating, the list goes on and on. Only two INTs as well. Boomer, do you consider C.J. Stroud a true and legitimate contender for the NFL MVP award?
Well, if we were voting today, I would say yes, given the fact that, you know, where he's got his team and the way that he's played and the numbers that you just talked about. We got a long way to go, guys. Usually that MVP goes to somebody who's going to get his team into the playoffs. So if somehow, some way, the Houston Texans overtake the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC South and they have a home playoff game and he continues to play the way that he has played the last 2 weeks, I would think he would definitely be in the conversation. But you got to remember, you still have Lamar Jackson out there, Patrick Mahomes out there. Whether or not Joe Burrow and his team can get past Baltimore on Thursday night's a whole nother story. But I still think there are a lot of quality players out there. And we may also have, for the first time in a long time, a non-quarterback win an MVP. So there are a lot of guys out there that have a lot of good numbers. So, like I said, a lot of football still left to be played.
Boomer, love that we have you on today to talk about this, to get some firsthand experience. You were drafted in the second round of the 1984 draft, coming in as a quarterback. You take a look at how well C.J. Stroud is playing on the opposite side, not going so well for Bryce Young. Talk to us about some of the trials and tribulations that you have as a young quarterback just trying to make your way into this league, why you can have success early, and sometimes why some of these quarterbacks just don't.
You know, interestingly, for me, going into this draft, C.J. Stroud had all the physical intangible physical attributes that you want in a quarterback. 6'3", 220, 25 pounds, a great runner, a great arm. You know, he's got a great arm strength. He's got everything that you want from a physical standpoint. I'm not sure why Carolina chose Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud, but both got a lot of respect coming out of college. There's no question about that. But for me, you know, maybe it was Bryce's just the way that his head, his heart, the way that he carries himself. I think he'll be a lot better next year. You know, he's a diminutive player. He's small. And when you see the two of those guys standing next to each other, you're like, how is Bryce Young going to make it? Well, he's going to make it because he's got this up here and he's certainly got the heart for it. So I think growing pains for sure. And they got to build a better team around him. And there's no question they tried to do that this year with some of the additions of some of the veterans that they did in the offseason in Carolina. But I could see a struggling player right now, not really sure if he belongs yet. He's had some success, but he just hasn't had that breakout game yet.
The Panthers, only one win this year, the only team in the NFL with just a lone win in 2023. Boomer, only 1 minute left for you, so we'll quickly ask this question. The opposite end of the spectrum, looking at the Super Bowl favorites on FanDuel at this moment, which team around the NFL do you have the most confidence in?
I would say the 49ers and the Chiefs still are the two teams that I have the most confidence in. The nice thing about the Chiefs is that they have one of the better defenses in football, which is a nice surprise going into this year. We weren't sure how good their defense was going to be. The 49ers are still the best team, the best roster. I felt like they were really going to come back away from the bye, after the bye, with the addition of Chase Young, getting Trent Williams back and Deebo Samuel back. And all they did was just absolutely blast the Jacksonville Jaguars. So to me, it's still a collision course at this moment with the Chiefs and the 49ers. I know the Eagles will have something to say about that. And I'm sure Taylor Swift will be at the game Monday night for the Eagles. So I look for the Kansas City Chiefs to keep their winning streak alive with Taylor Swift in attendance.
But what jersey is she wearing? A lifelong Eagles fan. The questions we have to ask. Boomer Esiason, thank you so much for your time. More TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I thought I had jinxed it, Donnie Wrightside, but in turn, I had not. Boomer Esiason joined us in that last segment. We're hoping John Rothstein will be here momentarily. A couple of technical issues that we're ironing out to preview a huge night on this Tuesday in college basketball. For the time being, live right here on the early line, it's Ben and it's Donnie. Donnie, we reacted to last night in college basketball, the start of week number two of this 2023-24 men's college basketball season. A couple of marquee matchups inside Madison Square Garden at Mackey Arena at the Palestra in Philadelphia in the Big Five Bash. Donnie, all setting the stage for a huge Tuesday night in the sport as well.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it here. And this is the fun. I call it the silly season here for a reason, because you're not playing every night. Some games you're in Hawaii. Some days you're waiting 7 days between games here. But you are going to get some of those collision course games, which we have tonight here. A great doubleheader out there in Chicago tonight. The Big Five having their own party in the city of Philadelphia. This is wonderful stuff to get us heated up as we wait for after the new year and conference basketball play to really kick in, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely so. I believe John Rothstein is here now joining us on this Tuesday on TEL. Of course, John joining us on behalf of FanDuel, doing great work for CBS Sports. He is the face of college basketball in my estimation. John, thank you for taking the time to join us here on this Tuesday morning on Sports Grid. He made it work. The technical issues ironed out. We are live right here on this Tuesday. John, let's look back on Monday night. That started off week number two of this 2023-24 college hoop season. So much to dissect. John, let's start here in New York City. The atmosphere and anticipation. Last night at Madison Square Garden for Rick Pitino's debut at the world's most famous arena, now as the head coach with St. John's men's basketball. It didn't go the way of the Red Storm. Michigan, meanwhile, a perfect 3-0 this year, a 16-point win for the Wolverines. John, what was your main takeaway from Pitino's opener with St. John's at MSG last night?
Well, nobody said that this was going to be a coronation for Rick Pitino, right? Michigan was going to try and win the game too. But, you know, Ben, I think you look at the storyline that's developing right now with Michigan. Keep in mind, this basketball team lost Hunter Dickinson to Kansas via the transfer portal and two top 15 picks from last year's team, Jet Howard and Kobe Bufkin. And last year's team did not make the NCAA tournament. But Michigan is significantly better as a unit than it was a year ago. Ben, it's not anarchy. It's just college basketball.
Yeah, talking about anarchy and college basketball getting after it in the city of brotherly love, John. Villanova Wildcats go into the Palestra and come out with a loss against the Penn Quakers, 76-72. In the bigger picture here, in the Big East, talking with Villanova, are we on some shaky ground with Villanova? Can they respond here? And Kyle Neptune as the head coach, give me some thoughts on Villanova.
Well, Villanova moving forward is going to have an arduous schedule. And unless Villanova meets Northern Iowa in the consolation bracket of the Battle for Atlantis next week in the Bahamas, every single game that the Wildcats will play for the rest of the regular season will be either against a Big Five opponent or a power conference opponent. So the rubber is definitely meeting the road for Villanova in year two under Kyle Neptune. And again, this is a program that went to the transfer portal and went against the grain of the way that Villanova has built its program in past years and added four guys who were expected to have key impact roles this year. TJ Bamba from Washington State, Tyler Burton from Richmond, Hakeem Hart from Maryland, and also Lance Ware from Kentucky.
A Hakeem Hart revenge game on Friday night in Philly as Villanova gets ready to take on Maryland. The Terps, a disappointing start to this year. They've lost two of their first three. Another Big Ten team, John, highlights this Tuesday night. The Champions Classic in Chicago inside the United Center. Duke entered the year as the number two team in the country. They suffered a big loss to start off this season on Friday night at home against Arizona. But that was a great matchup. The shock to start the year, Michigan State losing in overtime against James Madison in MSU season opener at the Breslin Center last week. So, John, a top 20 tilt tonight at the UC in Chicago. Michigan State and Duke, the Blue Devils, a 3.5-point favorite. Who bounces back from the big loss they took in the opening week to start off week number two?
Well, before we get to that, Ben, think about this for a second. You know, the loser of this game is going to wake up on Wednesday morning and be 1-2 here in the second week of the season. That's something I don't think a lot of people thought was going to happen at the start of the year. You know, to me, one of the big things we need to kind of keep in mind now is for Duke to be a team that's going to be in a situation where it can get to a Final Four and obviously have a chance to win a national title, it needs Tyrese Proctor to play at an all-ACC and maybe all-American caliber level. You need to have that complement next to Kyle Filipowski up front. That's something we want to keep an eye on. We also want to see as well what we're going to get from an offensive perspective from a Michigan State team that's 2 of 31 from three in its first two games. Jaden Akins has to shoot the basketball better, and we also need to see, again, in my opinion, more flow, more continuity from AJ Hogard at point guard for Michigan State to get higher percentage shots.
Double header, big time out there in Chicago tonight. Game number two of that, we'll see Kansas going up against Kentucky. Take a look at Kansas here. And the Big 12 certainly is a buzzsaw every single year. How about the first two games for the Kansas Jayhawks? 99 points and 99 points. High octane offense, ready to go. What are we looking at tonight between this SEC Big 12 battle tonight?
Well, you have to start and end with Hunter Dickinson going up against the Kentucky front line, who does not have three of its seven footers healthy. Ugonna Onyenso, Aaron Bradshaw out of the lineup with a foot injury. Zvonimir Ivicevic obviously out with an NCAA issue. So Kentucky does not have necessarily the front court depth to, in my opinion, contain Hunter Dickinson, who has been as good as advertised for Kansas out of the gate through two games, 19 points, rebounds a game, seven assists to just one turnover. This is not a deep Kansas team. That, to me, is the big concern I have with the Jayhawks at this point in the season. But I think as we're going through and we're seeing situations arise, and one of the things I've noticed last night with both St. John's and Villanova, there is something to be said about having too much depth and not having a rotation down to seven or eight guys. You're going to see, I think, Kansas play a very, very short bench, a bench that obviously they need. But also, Mike Bray said something when he was the head coach at Notre Dame years ago that I thought was very, very on point, and it's something I always remembered. Depth is underrated in practice, and it's overrated in games. I think that spells it out to a T.
You want to figure out what those rotations look like early in the season. It leads you the rest of the way in 2023 and 24. So, John, as we look at the four teams on display tonight in Chicago, all four schools have four of the 10 best prices to win a national championship, including that number one team in the country, Kansas, who is a co-favorite right now at 11-1 alongside Purdue. John, when you joined us here on the opening day of this new college basketball season, you told us Duke had one of, if not the most talented rosters in all of the sport. Of the four teams we will see tonight in the Windy City at the United Center, who do you think has the best outlook in the chase for a national championship this season?
Well, I voted Kansas number one at the start of the year, and I still have some concerns about their depth, but I think there's three things you have to like if you're Kansas. One is Hunter Dickinson, who's tailor-made to flourish in Bill Self's system. Two is DeJuan Harris, who's a point guard who has already been a part of a national championship run for Kansas in 2022. And the third is Bill Self, pound for pound, inch for inch, as good of a coach as there is in the sport today. So Kansas may not have what it's had in past years when it went far in the NCAA tournament, but it still has enough. And, you know, guys, one of the things I think we're seeing more and more, and, you know, we started our conversation today with Michigan, and I think this is a perfect example. You know, we make such a focus, and we're all guilty of it to some extent, and this is what people want to talk about. Who's going to be one of the top lottery picks next year? Well, we're a week into the college basketball season. Who signed the most talented recruiting class? How much doesn't really matter? Kentucky has not been to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament since 2019. Duke, a year ago, had the roster it has right now without, obviously, Caleb Foster, Sean Stewart, and obviously Jared McCain, who were all freshmen. But it has the roster it has right now, and it also had Derek Whitehead and Derek Lively, two first-round picks, and it lost in the NCAA tournament to a Tennessee team who did not have its point guard, Zakai Ziegler, but literally just physically overwhelmed Duke because they were cohesive, they were together, and they out-muscled Duke by double figures in the round of 32. We make such an effort to sometimes highlight the most talented signings and who the most talented prospects are long-term that doesn't always correlate to what's going to yield success in today's day and age of college basketball.
Gelling on the court, certainly, John, a big advantage if you can do that before the NCAA tournament. Talking about the NCAA tournament, two teams that look to factor into that, Marquette and Illinois tonight in the Gavitt tip-off games. This is a home game in Champaign for the Fighting Illini. Talk to us about Marquette and Illinois tonight, John.
Well, I talked to Brad Underwood yesterday, and one of the things we spoke about was there may not be a more underrated guard nationally than Cam Jones of Marquette. Obviously, everybody talks about Tyler Kolek, reigning Big East Player of the Year. Cam Jones is somebody, again, who is not somebody that people are going to think of when they talk about the best players in the country or even the best players of the Big East. Guys, he's averaging 21 points a game to start the season. Big-time shot maker. He is somebody I think that starting tonight could become an absolute name-brand commodity along with Kett as we look at college basketball landscape for the upcoming season.
Listen, I understand there's a home court advantage inside the State Farm Center in Champaign. Still intriguing me to see the Golden Eagles as a 2.5-point underdog. John, the Gavitt games are between the Big East and the Big Ten. We saw a couple of those instances last night on a Monday. More here on this Tuesday. A good one in downtown Omaha. Creighton, a top 10 team hosting Iowa. Points expected tonight. The total 162.5 with the Blue Jays and 11.5-point favorite. John, what do you hope to learn out of this early season matchup between the Jays and the Hawkeyes?
Well, I think if you like offense, this is going to be the game where you really got to get your appetite, you know, filled, because Creighton is coming into the game averaging 97 points a game. Iowa's coming into the game averaging 104 points a game. Something has got to give here tonight. And this is, again, a Creighton team who, as a team through two games, has made 33-point shots. Iowa's made 21. And the biggest thing I will say is this. You never want to obviously shortchange anybody, but obviously there were some defections, you know, from Creighton through the transfer portal, through the offseason. But all of a sudden, now that this team does not have Arthur Kaluma at power forward and it's playing a face-up option at the four with either Mason Miller or Virginia transfer Isaac Trout, the ball hums at an incredible level for Creighton on offense. I don't want to say it's the same type of feel, but I will say this. When you watch Creighton on offense, and Creighton does not have a player the caliber of Doug McDermott, but you get the vibes of the team that had Doug McDermott and Ethan Rogge on its team in 2013-14, that Jays team earned a 3-seed in the NCAA tournament. And remember this, and this is something really impressive, Ben. Every single player in Creighton's rotation through the first two games of the year has attempted a three. So everybody is at least a threat to shoot. If you love beautiful things in life, you'll love Creighton's offense.
That is for sure. Greg McDermott likes to keep the pace high. We'll see that tonight against Fran McCaffrey's Hawkeyes. Creighton, Marquette, and UConn, all co-favorites to win the Big East. John Rothstein, we appreciate the time on this monumental Tuesday as always. Back on TEL in just a few.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out our 3 hours together live right here on the early line on this Tuesday on Sports Grid. I am Ben. He is Donnie. But more importantly, this is the Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. Five-star plays within the Spiz Grizz app. Those are known as best bets, and so are these. Before we enter this Tuesday night slate, all across the sports landscape with a ton of marquee matchups in college basketball in week number two, we also give you a best bet before we say farewell and goodbye. It is time for Bye Bye Bye. Donnie, what did you learn from John Rothstein? Anything from a secret scrimmage perspective that gives you an insight to this Tuesday night slate in CBB?
Yeah, well, look, I need the insight on the Big Five here. And talking about what Villanova is going to do in the season is always helpful. But also, what I really should have asked him here, Temple and Drexel from the DAC. Ask if he's ever been to the DAC, which he's probably been there before, and what those opportunities would have been. But yes, always nice to get filled in here. But Big Five focused here for me. We'll see what Villanova does.
Yeah. So who are you taking in the game, Donnie? Drexel, 4.5-point favorite.
Yeah, nobody in that game. I'm taking Joel Embiid's points prop to the over 32.5. So I'm going to throw everybody off with that scenario. And the only reason why I'm taking Joel Embiid tonight is because Tyrese Maxey isn't up on the FanDuel Sportsbook. But Big JoJo, 48, 33, and 37 in three of his past four games. He's going over the total. There you go. That's what John Rothstein told me to take. Joel Embiid tonight, pal. Let's go.
That's very good. That is very, very good. Maybe does that mean Kansas then is a 6.5-point favorite in the nightcap in Chicago against Kentucky? I have two areas here in the Gavitt tip-off games tonight, the Big Ten versus Big East battle. I think Wisconsin wins outright on the road in Friartown against Providence. And then I think Marquette is incorrectly priced as the underdog, albeit in Champaign, against Illinois. Golden Eagles plus 2.5. And if you want some late night fun, you take the over of 162.5 between Creighton and Iowa, but it's on the rise.
That's a lot of
be
points.
Careful. Donnie and I will be back tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern time, live right here on the early line.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.